On the last Thursday of every month, we catch up with Alistair Spence-Clark. Today being no exception. Morning, Alistair.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Not bad. Strange times, but hopefully light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, we are really looking forward to this weekend. We can go out. I'm within a kilometre of the beach, so I'll be able to go to the beach.
Oh, you're a lucky man.
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm guessing it's a kilometre there and a kilometre back as opposed to half there and half back. That's not really clear at the moment.
Oh, God, don't start.
Well, let's move on to money matters, because we've got quite a few listeners' queries to get through today. And let's start with one you were going to talk about anyway, actually, which is very appropriate, from John Senior, who says, can you advise what the tax or any other advantages of holding a QROPS in Spain are to a SIP in the UK? Acronym City, Arizona, that one.
Yeah, QROPS. QROPS are odd things because QROPS and SIPs. They're both odd things in Spain, because you think of them as pension schemes in the UK, whereas in Spain they're not. They're just savings funds.
Right.
And basically, what's the difference between a SIP and a QROPS from a tax point of view? Basically none. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So from a tax perspective, there's very little difference. In fact, I can't think of a difference from an income tax perspective of the two. They're both regarded as personal assets. Pension fund usually is, or pension is not usually a personal asset. But they're both regarded as personal assets in Spain, and the income from them is not regarded as pension, and they are both taxed, SIP and QROPS, both taxed as though they're investment income.
Mm-hmm.
And the tax can be as low as 3%, okay, or 2.5% in fact. So what is the difference between a QROPS and a SIP? That is very much an investment advisor's job. My feeling is that it's best not to move from a SIP to a QROPS unless you really understand the difference. One of the big differences that I know of is that at 75 years old, you don't have to take an annuity.
Okay.
In a QROPS, in a SIP, you do. The thing is that annuities are quite handy in Spain because we pay very little tax on them. So, short answer, big question, not much difference from a tax point of view. There are significant differences, though, in the way that the QROPS works when it comes to paying out benefits.
Okay, brilliant. Hope that helps for John. Thank you very much for your email in, John. Okay, let's move on. Mark Peters says, can you advise me regarding my tax situation? I got my residencia in Spain in July last year. I rent a property here and don't own one in Spain. At the moment, for tax purposes, I'm registered at my son's address in the UK. I have two properties in the UK which I own and I rent out, and that allows me to live here. Over 65, no other income apart from a UK state pension. I paid £465,000 for one of the houses and £325,000 for the other. The latter I have £175,000 mortgage on. And the question at the end of all that is, can he choose to pay his tax in the UK?
No.
Oh. Simple answer.
Yeah, you live in Spain,
yeah.
Mark. If you live in Spain, you've got to pay tax in this country.
Yeah.
If you spend most of your time in the UK and less of your time in Spain, that's when you pay your tax in the UK. Also, Mark, rental income is very favourably taxed in Spain. You know, whatever profit you make out of the properties, and that's after deducting, you know, mortgage interest and everything else, all the normal costs, you get a 60% reduction in Spain on the net income. So if your net income is 10,000 euros, for example, you only pay tax on 4,000 euros. So that's a pretty good deal in some ways. I think you may even find it's better than the UK.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark, that is actually one of the questions that I was going to be talking about, as you say, Bill. And there is a big article, very big article, on my website, okay? And you will find it fully explained there. Okay, move on to the next one.
Fantastic. This is from Tom, who says, I have a question relating to the possibility of the government imposing a capital levy on Spanish residents. This tax was enacted in Cyprus following the crash of 2008, and it's now being discussed in the British press as a possible way to raise revenue for the government as it faces the catastrophic debt mountain following COVID. Could this happen in Spain? And if it does, how should we respond?
Right. Well, it could just as easily happen in the UK, and the probability is probably the same. The only thing I would say against that is that, of course, we've got part of the government at the moment who seems to think we're in Venezuela.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they really are off the planet. If you think some of the politicians in the UK are strange, these guys are. I mean, they're not just Trotskyists. They're a lot worse. So what are the chances of it happening? I think extremely remote. What we do have is wealth tax, though. And wealth tax in Spain only applies to the very wealthy people with over 700,000 of net wealth. So I do anticipate, with a government like of the nature we have at the moment, I do anticipate taxes going up, much as it's probably the worst thing to do in a recessionary economy. Mm. So, you know, there's kind of a balance. Shall we have taxes going up, or shall we just and destroy the economy even more, or shall we give the population a bit of a break? I can't answer that question. I think it's very, very unlikely that we're going to have a capital levy.
Okay, fair enough. Crystal ball, really, isn't it, on that one, I guess? Yeah.
I think it's also, would it be lawful? Well, pretty well anything's lawful when you can lock people down the way we've been locked down. Much as it's justified. I don't think it would be lawful. It would be probably unconstitutional.
Yeah. Okay. This one from the Costa Blanca, from Alfaz Del P, from Tony, who says, my question is about the renter. As I have moved since last year, I need to find a new accountant locally. What arrangements have the Spanish government announced regarding preparation and payment of the renter?
Hi, this is one. This one's from Tony. Welcome to Spain, Tony. you have to file a tax return starting with the 1st of April, and you must finish all the filings by the 30th of June, and you pay your tax partially in June and partially in November. You can contact us. We deal with a lot of people in the Costa Blanca. If you want us to deal with your renter, no problem. A renter's income tax return, for those who don't not familiar with the word. Basically, those are the arrangements. You can start filing as of now. It's a very simple process. We run you through it, look forward to hearing from you, Tony.
Fantastic. Okay. Next one, we'll try and get through. It's reasonably lengthy. It's from Caroline, who says, after 13 years of contributions to the Autonomo system, I did a Baja last March 2019. That's because I was told by two advisors I was an Autonomo falser and could be fined for contributing to the Spanish social security system. I checked with a local branch of the Marina. She is yacht crew, and was told several times in no uncertain terms, I'm a foreign migrant crew member on a foreign flagged vessel and have no right to pay into the Spanish social security system wherever on the planet the yacht is docked, and regardless of my residency at the time or my place of work spent in Spain. Even though I want to and have done so for 13 years, this is even though I've been resident and a property owner here since 2004, and the boat sits in Spanish waters for 7 months of the year.
We can go on forever on this one. Yeah. If a boat is sitting in a Spanish port for more than 6 months, it is regarded as having a permanent establishment in Spain and is subject to income tax, withholding tax, social security, wages, costs, et cetera, all within the Spanish system.
Right.
Anything here for 7 months a year, even regardless of the flag, is regarded as being in Spain. But I have a solution for Caroline. If Caroline wants to, and she lives in Spain, if she wants to, you know, embed herself in the Spanish system, which in fact she already is, but to do it properly, I mean, she needs to be self-employed. I know she doesn't think that's a good idea, but if she's self-employed and she invoices her employer, regardless of where the boat is registered and where the owner is or the manager is located, then she can do that. She can invoice from Spain as an autónomo, legally as an autónomo, and be fully part of the wonderful Spanish system. So that's my solution. The questions that Caroline asks are really quite long and detailed, and have quite an interesting political concept to them. Caroline, if you want to talk this through, I'd be more than happy to talk it through with you over the phone. But this is quite a long question, and I don't think we have time for it.
And there's a part two we haven't even got to yet.
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
this is the autonomo thing, and I think perhaps Caroline might consider this as a proper option.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Caroline, for that. And let's move on to some of the stuff that we'd planned to talk about today. And firstly, the Spanish income tax system, and this is people who are resident in Spain but work abroad for part or all of the year.
This is interesting. This could apply for Caroline. yes, this is fantastic. If you, let's say you work on an oil rig or on a ship, okay, and you spend you know, a long time outside of the country, and you could spend, you know, a whole year out of the country or 9 months out of the country, working for a non-Spanish employer. So typically that's what would happen with a ship or with an oil rig. Or the branch, indeed, of a Spanish company, a foreign branch, that would definitely be the case. If you work in those circumstances, your first 60,000 euros are tax-free.
Right.
Wow. So let's just say you're working on an offshore rig in the UK for an employer that's registered in the UK. Mm-hmm. Your UK employer would deduct PAYE, et cetera, et cetera. And... but your income in Spain is completely exempt. The 60,100, you know, if it's 70,000, then the first 60,100 is available for exemption.
Why didn't they just make it 60 exactly? Why is it 60,100?
Why do we have so many strange bits of law in Spain?
Yeah,
Phil?
Yeah,
you've been a long time. It's just one of the wonders. why do we have so many companies with 3,005 euros and 6 cents as their capital? I mean, yes, who knows?
Actually,
I do know. I've been here too long. I know why. Anyway, so this article, as all the articles I'm going to be talking about, on the website, and you will find all the detail there. So if you are working abroad but living in Spain, you may be subject to this wonderful exemption. And it gets even more interesting. If you're working in the UK or somewhere like that, it could be you're exempt from PAYE.
Okay.
So you finish up being exempt in the UK because effectively you're a foreign resident, and you're exempt in Spain. I mean, that's a very unusual circumstance, I have to say.
Yeah.
But anyway, the good thing is you can live in Spain, work abroad, and pay very little tax. Okay.
Yep. And the detail, as you say, is in a document that you've put on the website, along with all the other things we're talking about this morning. Okay. Talking of exemptions, income tax exemption from filing an annual income tax declaration. When can you not file?
This is one of the biggest questions, I think, at this time of the year.
Yeah.
If you're receiving salary income or pensions or anything of that nature, which are taxed at source, i.e. from Spanish employers, and your income is less than 22,000, you do not have to file a tax declaration.
Right.
Okay. So if your sole source of income is a Spanish employer, or maybe you have two, then you don't have to file if your total earned income is less than 22,000.
Okay.
That's exemption A. Mm-hmm. All right. Call it A.
Yep.
Exemption B is if you're receiving earnings from abroad, like pensions for abroad, state pension from the UK or Holland or wherever, and your total income is less than 14,000, with no tax paid in Spain by the employer, you're also exempt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? My article goes into more detail, and I've also got a few Q&As, questions and answers on there. And if my questions and answers don't satisfy people, and my article don't satisfy people who are looking for answers to questions, just call us, and we will answer that as a public service. And we will tell you whether or not you have to file
at
no cost. Okay?
Brilliant.
Just phone our office.
And I'm guessing, Alistair, that if you're autonomo, then you have to file even if you earn nothing.
If you're autonomy, you always have to file. If you've got any property rental income, you always have to file. The exemptions are very specific to, do you only have earned income?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you've got a lot of investment income, you have to file. Okay.
Okay. Understood. And again, the detail is on the website, and we'll give that address out in just a moment. Now, here's one I've not come across before. Spread betting. Nothing to do with going down the bookies, is it?
It's very similar, actually. As far as the UK is concerned, spread betting is just like going down to the bookies. Anyway, I've written an article on this because I've come across this on numerous occasions, and actually more so in the last few months for some odd reason. And people come to me and say, look, I want to live in Spain. I make quite a lot of money out of spread betting. How's that going to work in Spain? Well, spread betting is a form of financial derivative investment, like day trading, but slightly more sophisticated. And basically, you can lose a lot of money or you can win a lot of money. Spain regards it as betting, which is the worst possible thing, because in Spain, your bets are taxed mm-hmm. at your rates up to 48%. But your losses are not allowed.
Right.
Okay. Now, in the UK, it's very popular spread betting because no income and no profits and no losses are taxed. They're completely exempt in the UK system. And they're exempt in the UK system because basically 76% according to statistics, lose money. Therefore, the government kind of makes money by not allowing it to be part of the taxes. But now Spain does it one better. And they say, we will tax you for your profits, but we're not going to allow your losses. Spain's got it really, really well organized. Anyway, anybody who's in spread betting and wants to understand the difference between spread betting and contracts for difference, CFD trading, which is the alternative to spread betting, there's an article on the website. Okay?
Fantastic. So it's not my old granddad, God bless his cotton socks, that would go down to bookies and bet on every horse in the race just to cover them all.
No. Well, yeah, but yeah, if you did that in Spain, you'd be taxed on your profits. Okay? Amazing, isn't it? You'd be taxed having received income, effectively, which is the winnings, but any losses you made, you wouldn't be allowed to claim them.
Goodness me. Goodness me.
They don't want to incentivize. Now, I think, are we running out of time?
We can do one more. Let's do the income tax on rental income, which is a big deal for people here, isn't it, obviously?
Yeah, we have a lot of people who have, you know, a couple of properties, like one of the people who wrote in today. And this article goes into a lot of detail. And I've done this because I want to demystify Spanish taxation. My job, really, apart from just doing stuff that people want me to do, my office anyway, is to try and demystify the Spanish system for the poor foreigner who is doing his best to comply with the law. And my job is to try and kind of make it a bit easier. Now, effectively, if you're a resident in Spain and you have, an apartment or something in Manchester, for an example, mm-hmm. and you've got a residential let and it's producing, 12,000 a year, something like that, you're going to have legal costs, you've got insurance costs, utility costs, maybe some maintenance. You might have a loan to finance it. All of those costs are deductible, as well as depreciation, which can be as much as 3% of the value of the property or cost of the property. Now, all those costs are deductible. So we're quite generous in Spain with what we allow as deductions. And then, having worked out, you know, all right, I paid 5,000 out in all my costs this year. I had to buy a new boiler. I've only made a 5,000 profit. You then get a 60% reduction on your 5,000 profit. You only pay tax effectively on 2,000 euros. So it does make Spain surprisingly attractive for those people who have got rental portfolios or just one or two rental properties. So there's a big article on there, very detailed, so that basically people can do things themselves, or if they want someone like us to do it for them, of course, we will be delighted. So there you go, Bill.
Fantastic. And so to finish, the important phone numbers and website address.
Yeah. Okay. Website is spenceclark.com. Okay. Dead simple. Spence without an R and Clark with an E on the end and an A in the middle. Spenceclark.com. And the number, telephone number, is 95282943. Okay. And we're all, you know, we're working as normal, or we're working at home, but we've got a virtual switchboard, so we can pass calls amongst us and deal with anybody who phones in with an inquiry. Okay.
Brilliant. Yeah. We managed to get through the lot. Thank you, Alistair. You take care of yourself,
you,
and we'll speak again
and
next
you,
month.
You, Bill.
All the best.
Great. Thanks a lot.